Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Sadi Hey. We are in Sadi Dala Amud Beis, and we are in the middle of a sugya regarding kibus begadim, washing clothing, specifically that of leather clothing. Once again, we go back to the basic idea of this parak, and that is the idea of laundering the dam chatas. Torah says in Parashat Tzav, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav, Kol Asher Yigab Bivsara Yigdash, anything that comes into contact with the meat of a carbon chatos will become kadosh, will become holy, will meet, which is Rashi explains over there in the pasuk, that once it is balua, once it has absorbed the taste of a carbon chatos, so now it's going to be circumscribed with all the halachas of a carbon chatos. Can be eaten only for one day, with the following night, can only be eaten by zichrei kohuna, male kohanim. So kol asher yigab bifsara yigdash, v'asher yizem midam al habeged. Now if any of the clothing gets sprinkled on the clothes, if any of the blood gets sprinkled on the clothing, so it needs to be laundered by makum kadosh. Makum kadosh is the azara, and there is a special din kibus, there's a special act of laundering as it relates to this, blood. I mentioned already a number of days since we started the perek that there is no explanation, neither in the Torah nor in the Gemara, in terms of why it is that there's a special halacha of kibus dam chatas, the laundering of the blood of the karmen chatas. So far, what I found is a Ramban on Chumash. Ramban on Chumash writes, very very succinctly, but I'll read it. Techabes b'makom kadosh, hechmir akosav b'dam anivla, bebeged. So the Torah is stringent regarding the blood that's absorbed in the garment. La'asosa kasher hayakonim hazaya. Treating it as if it was before it was sprinkled. Shelo yatza chutz l'klayim. We know the blood before it's sprinkled cannot leave the azara. In other words, obviously it has to be sprinkled, and if it leaves outside the Azar, it's going to become possible to be disqualified through Yotzei. So the Ramban says that we are going to treat any blood that is absorbed into the Begad in a similar fashion. That, in other words, we want to get it out in the Azara so that it is not taken outside the Azara and therefore subject to the Psul of Yotzei. That's the Ramban's explanation in Chumash. So basically it's... Yeah, right. In other words, right. The explanation is not a full explanation. In other words, right. The blood of any carbon can be taken out of the azar. It's an excellent point. Okay, so Dam Chatas is more kedusha, but in Achinami. And I knew. Any explanation that's given is going to help us understand, but it's not going to give us a full explanation. In other words, if I collect the blood of any carbon, right? This is Rabbi Berman's point. If I take the blood of any carbon and I take it outside of the Azar, now it becomes disqualified. And I can't sprinkle it anymore. And so when the Torah says that the blood of a carbon chatzis that gets absorbed into clothing, I have to launder it in the Azara, it's because the Torah is telling us to treat it like as if it was blood that was ready to be sprinkled. Even though it's now absorbed in the clothing and you're not going to sprinkle it, but still, the Torah is going to Torah wants us to be machmir regarding the dam chatzis. Okay. In the middle of the discussion we had in yesterday's daf, we talked about what happens if it gets absorbed in a garment other than linen or wool. Begadim in general are made up of linen and wool, and bizman haTorah, bizman haGemara, I mean, were made up of other materials as well. But when the Torah usually refers to beged, so usually beged is a reference to either linen or wool. And of course the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to mix the two. And if the blood gets absorbed into that garment, or for any other type of garment for that matter, so there's the halach of kibbutz of laundering. And yesterday we got into the discussion of leather and whether or not leather is even launderable, whether it could even be laundered. Now this has two ramifications. It has a ramification in our discussion, meaning that if the blood gets caught on a leather garment, is there a requirement of kibbutz, meaning is it at all even applicable to say that we should be laundering the garment, the leather garment, because it may now just simply be subject to leather. And also, as we learned in yesterday's Gemara, and this is what we're going to finish up today, this morning, it also has relevance regarding Shabbos. We know that on Shabbos, one is not allowed to launder. It's one of the 39 malachas. The Mishnah describes it as libun, as literally whitening. So one is not allowed to launder. So if I'm wearing anything that has leather on it, so is it going to be subject to the malacha of libun on Shabbos? Okay, and so this is what we were discussing yesterday. So what we're
not talking about Kohanim.
No. Right, correct. Meaning, right. This halach of kibbutz is not just limited to the Kohen and the Big Day Kohuna. The halach of kippahs applies to any garment that's worn in the Beis HaMikdash by anybody. And you're right, by the way, the strong likelihood is who's going to be in the Beis HaMikdash? It's going to be Kohanim, who's going to be wearing the clothing of all linen. So, right, it's unlikely, but as far as the halach is concerned, the halacha will entertain anyone who has a begad. Okay, so what I'd like to do is I'd like to take one quick step backwards, I'd like to go back to the beginning of the sugya, as the sugya really is one continuous sentence with a couple of bumps along the way. So let's take a look, let's go back to Sadi Dalam and Aleph, and let's go back to the beginning of the sugya. So step backwards, but just to get a better look at the sugya. Echad abeged ve'echad asak, I'm on Sadi Dalam and Aleph, and I'm at the two dots. We did a lot of this yesterday. So lemeimer d'or bar kippus, now it sounds like that leather is subject to kippus because the Gemara yesterday included it in the obligation of kippus regarding dam chatas, riminu. And on that, the Gemara says, I'm going to quote to you a Mishnah Shabbos. The Mishnah Shabbos reads like this. Ha'isav lav lashleshes mekan chobes martut. If, let's say, there is on the pillowcase a little bit of lashleshes, shmutz. Okay, that's a literal translation. Right. So mekan chobes martut. So what you do is you dry rub it. You take a shmata and you rub it out. Ha'isa shel or, sorry. First, we were talking about a non-leather pillowcase. Now, if it's shell or if it's made up of leather, no sin alam mayim ashtechala. So then, you could just simply run water over it until the stain comes out, until the schmutz comes out. And so, clearly, in this Mishnah, the Mishnah is allowing us to run water on a garment of leather. It's a pillowcase, but it allows us to do so. Clearly, then, if we're allowed to do that on Shabbos, so you're not violating kibbutz. If we're not violating kibbutz, that means that it's not launderable. In other words, it's not even in the subject of discussion. It's not kibbutz. I'm Rabbi Lokasha, Rabbanan Ha'acherim, Ditanya. So Abai's first approach is that this is a machlokas hatanai. The Braisa reads, Abakir v'asag mechapso ha'kliva or megaro. If I have either a garment or made up of baged we'll say right now is wool or linen, sack is sackcloth, made up of goat's hair. So mechapso, so they're kibbutz. Meaning if dam chatzis were to fall on it, so I launder it with water. However, a kliva or a migarero. But if it is either a hard utensil or it is leather, so you scrape it off, meaning you don't do kibbutz. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama, which clearly, according to the Tanakhama, means leather is not subject to kibbutz. And acherim omrim, abegev asakva or mechapsa v'akli migarero. And according to the acherim, so no. What we're going to do is we're going to move leather over from category B back to category A. Meaning that just like I do kibbutz by wool, linen, sackcloth, and leather, so leather is obviously is something which is subject to kibbutz. And as far as a kli is concerned, kli over here meaning a hard material of wood or metal, so then you scrape the blood off. Fine. So we now are in the middle of a bias suggestion that this is a machlokes atanayim, the Mishnah and Shabbos that allows us to just simply run water over the leather, so obviously following the opinion of the Tanakhama. Our Mishnah that says that for leather you do kibbutz, you launder it, is following the opinion of the Acherim. Okay? Sounds that way. So the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to hear this a number of times over the course of this morning, and that is, Rav allowed his leather shoes, to be washed on Shabbos. Now, when I say washed, I mean with the water going over it, washing over it. And Kaman Karabana. Now, he's subscribing to the viewpoint of the Chachamim that we just learned in the Braisa. And according to Abai, it's a machlokas atanayim. And Rav is subscribing to the Tanakhama's viewpoint that leather is simply not subject to kibbutz. Amar Rav, ami ikal amanda amar or lab bar kibbutz uvaksiv. So to which Rav says, now wait 1 second. Let's slow everything down because we have a pasuk in the Torah, which is a great starting point for any discussion. And the pasuk in the Torah says, "Va'abegel roshes tiyoyerev o kokli or asher tichubas." The Torah over here describes in the parsha of Tzaras that if I have a garment with Tzaras on it, and the Torah says either it's made up of beged, meaning wool or linen, or if it's made up of leather, asher tichubas, which could be laundered. It's pretty clear in the Torah that a leather garment can in fact be laundered. That's the pasuk in the Torah. So, Alam Rava Kra Masisim Barachin. So, Rava says like this: the pasuk in the Torah, the Mishnah that we learned together, that says that leather with blood, with the blood of chatasan is going to be laundered. That's talking about a soft leather. Ki pligi bekashin. As far as the debate that we learned in the Brice above, That's talking about hard leather. So Rava now introduces a distinction between hard and soft leather. Soft leather, according to everybody, is launderable and subject to the halachas of laundering. For Dam Chatzos, that means there's a requirement to launder it. On Shabbos, that means there's an isser, that you're not allowed to launder it. As it relates to hard leather, so that's the machlokus between the Tanakama and the Achirim of the Braisa. And then, and now let's go back to Rav's allowance to have his shoes washed on Shabbos. So, Bikashin, Uva Ucha Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, well, that's talking about a hard leather, and he's subscribing to the viewpoint of the Chachamim.
So how do you explain the kol in the pasuk? Kol kli or, what does that mean? Any kli or.
Okay.
Meaning kashrut also?
Yeah, it means, well, okay, now, right now.
Just say kli or.
Okay, well, you're asking the Gemara's, really what you're asking is the Gemara's next question, so just stay tuned for just a moment. So right now what we are making is a distinction between hard and soft leathers. And Rav allowing his shoes to be washed, it's a hard leather. This is Rav's suggestion. Hadam Rav, to which Rav rethought his position, and he said, La milsi da amre. He says, look, I thought about it. I'm not happy with what I said. Negu name alay lakra dechi kasvinim berachin ksivin. Milo oskinim bekli achsal naya. Habayim in medina siyam vekamer rechmanin nibay kibus. To which Rav says, look, what we're doing by definition now is we're limiting the pasuk. And we're limiting the pasuk and saying that the pasuk is only referring to soft leather, not hard leather. Who says that's right? In other words, the Torah says leather. Could the Torah over here could be entertaining any kind of leather, soft or hard? So Rav says, okay, but I'll tell you what. After reconsideration, and at this point now it's reconsideration. After reconsideration, I'll tell you that I think the Torah, when describing leather, is talking about a soft leather. How come? Because it's in the parsha of Tzaras. So what happens is that the tzaras goes into the begin, it softens it. The tzaras softens the begin. Now, of course, none of us know the chemical properties of what tzaras does to a clothing. None of us have been eyewitnesses to it. But Rava suggests, however, that that's in fact what happened with the leather clothing. Meaning, of course, there's hard leather and there's soft leather. But once it's invaded with tzaras, so it softens it. It's michal chal. I pointed out yesterday. We have that in the Megillas Esther. When they write Tischachal Hamakam. So Mechachal Le Mashal Le Rach. It makes him soft. Am Ravi Kashli Akashli. So Rav says, I'll tell you what. So in of itself, that doesn't bother me. The idea that the leather in the Torah is talking about soft leather, I'm comfortable with that. However, but I will say this though. Pillowcases, leather pillowcases, what do you think? They're soft or hard? It'd be not so comfortable if the pillowcases were hard leather. So let's all agree now that the pillowcases are a soft leather. Good. Utanan, Aisa Shal Orno Sinala Mayama Shitachala. And the Mishnah tells us that with a soft leather, what one can do on Shabbos is if there's a schmutz on the pillowcase, on the leather pillowcase, and again now I'll add one more adjective, on the soft leather pillowcase, so one is allowed to on Shabbos run water over it. And so here we have soft leather, Shabbos. You're allowed to run water over it. So what have we just all learned together? It's okay. So and Rava was suggesting earlier, if it's soft, everyone agrees it's subject to kibbutz. But once you learn the Mishnah Shabbos, and once you just think about the Mishnah Shabbos, clearly soft leather is, according to the Mishnah in Shabbos, is not subject to laundering because one's allowed to run water over it. So Alam Rava kol kibbutz aleiske kiskos lo shmei kibbutz. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, so Rava's going to attack the problem now, not in terms of a definition or an attempt to redefine leather hard versus soft. We're now going to say that as far as leather is concerned, we're not going to make any distinction regarding hard versus soft leather. But rather what we're going to do now is we're going to redefine the laundering process. Okay. Now, there was once upon a time where I worked the washing machine. I'm telling you. It happened. Okay. I went to college, otherwise known as Yeshiva University. So the and so the first stage in the washing machine is the soaking stage.
It soaks. Yeah,
that's right. It soaks in the water. Then the next stage is agitation, and then it goes through a spin cycle. Okay, I got all three stages. I'm good. Okay, so Elam Rava Kol Kibbutz Aleis LeKiskus Lo Shmei Kibbutz. So Rava says that as far as kibbutz is concerned, the definition of kibbutz is that it needs agitation. It needs that middle cycle of the washing machine. So and if it doesn't have that, in other words, if it's just soaking, so that's not going to be a function of kibbutz. So the Gemara says, "V'hadamar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Zimnin Segi." Now, for our third time this morning, Now that which Rabbi Chiya Barashi tells us that many times Abba Kamina Kamidirav was in front of Rabbi Shich Shechele Mithana Bemaya, and he allowed his shoes to be washed with water, so Shich Shechina Valkivaslo. So that means to say that running water over it, that's what he allowed to do. But he certainly didn't allow for any kind of rubbing, any kind of agitation. Meaning just running water over it, that's what he allowed. So Ibarachin Kedivri Akol. And so now, once we're here now, and we're not redefining the leather, but we're redefining the act of washing and what isn't considered washing. So now, Ibarachin Kedivri Akol. So it could be soft leather, and it could simply be following everyone's opinion. And Ibakashin Uchke Acherim, the Gemara says, and if it's a hard leather, so then even Acherim would allow for not only running of the water, but according to Acherim, it's not even hard leather, it's not even subject to kippos, meaning you could do even more than just running water over it, but fine. So Ihachi Beganami. So the Gemara says, okay. So now what you're redefining now is not the leather, but you're redefining the act of laundering. And if it's just running water over it, if it's just a first stage of laundering, so that would be fine. So the Gemara says, if you're right, so then why is this discussion limited only to leather? Meaning, if you're telling me that by definition, kibbutz on Shabbos, the violation of kibbutz on Shabbos is only when you rub, agitate, when you provide any friction to the laundering process, but just running water over it is fine, so then the same thing should be true regarding a beged. Meaning if now we're talking not about leather clothing, where we're talking about clothing made up of wool or linen, any soft kind of material, so can't we just simply run water over it? To which the Gemara says, not so fast. Beged, shriyasa zui kibuso. When it comes to a soft clothing, a soft material, like wool, like linen, so just the first stage of laundering is considered kibbutz. Rava l'tamid amar Rava zarek suda l'mayim chayev. Zarek pishtan l'mayim chayev. To which this is complementary to that which Rava taught us. Rava taught us that if I take suda, if I take any kind of handkerchief, meaning a soft fabric material, and I put it in water, I'm going to be chayev. And if I take flax and I put it in water, you're going to be chayev as well. Now the Gemara says, bishlam suda avit kibbutz. Now taking a handkerchief, a soft garment, any soft garment, and putting it into water, one is going to be chayev because that's kibbutz, that's a malacha of libun. That part I get. Here's the part I don't get so quickly. Elazer pishtan my taima. But if we're talking about flax seed and putting it in water, what exactly is the malacha? Interesting that the Gemara over here says that it's not zareya. It's not planting. And apparently, again, the Gemara doesn't make this point super clear, but apparently just putting it in water of itself okay, is not going to be an act of Zriya. So the Gemara is so why then, assuming it's not Zoreya, which the Gemara is assuming, so why then are you Chayev? Now the word Chayev means that you're violating a Malacha. What Malacha are you violating when you take the flaxseed and putting it into the water? So the Gemara says, now if you're going to tell me that it actually sprouts, so the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, so this halacha would not be just limited to flaxseed. It would be true by any seed. So hanich isle rire. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that there, when you take the flaxseed and you put it in the water, so there is a mucus that comes out of the flaxseed. So, and Rashi writes, zera pishtan b'may nafka rira mine. It secretes a mucus. Umidavke ahadade, Rashi writes. And what happens then now is that the flaxseed is going to cling together. Clinging together, yachi shlachim nami. So the Gemara says, so if this is true, so then what is the, why are we limiting it to flaxseed? Because the Gemara says, ka'avit lisha, because now we're violating the malacha of lisha. Number, I can't do this for every malacha, by the way. Just, I'm going to sound impressive, but I cannot do this for every malacha. Malacha number 10 of the malachas on Shabbos is a malacha of lisha, of lush. That's kneading the dough. Kneading the dough is taking the flour that has already been ground up, and it is adding it to water, in which now you are going to be binding the particles together. When you are doing any act that binds particles together, that is a malacha of lisha. So when you take the flaxseed and you put it into the water, which secretes a mucus, causing the flaxseeds to bind together, the Gemara says that is a malacha of lisha. Okay, so the Gemara says...
it's happening by itself.
It's talking about
it, Adam. No. In other words, Rava made two statements. I understand that. Rava made two statements. The first statement is a point regarding kibbutz. And the Gemara says, fine, that's registered.
Right.
It happens to be also made a second statement as well regarding flaxseed and water.
Oh,
it was part of the statement of Rava. And once that came out of Rava's mouth, okay. So the Gemara just took a moment to say, well, what was that? And the Gemara says it's Lisha. Okay.
Open season.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
The soft leather is not considered soft in the sense that, just going back to the initial distinction,
yeah.
You consider it soft things, all you have to do is run water over them.
Yeah.
Hard things, agitation.
Right.
Soft leather is in the hard category in that sense.
Well, right. In other words, in the sense of soft leather, now, if I just run water over it, in of itself, that's fine, says the Gemara. But once I use agitation, so then that's going to be, that will be kibbutz, vis-a-vis Shabbos, vis-a-vis the halacha of removing the dam chatos.
Oh, on Shabbat, you cannot.
I'm in the fabric business, on the Modi side. Let's look at the permeability. This is what the question is.
Right, correct. I mean, in other words,
leather, whether it's hard or soft.
Right. What kind of absorption are we talking about?
None.
There is no absorption, right?
The soft leather. So why don't on Shabbat you can rinse it? So you have to scrub it.
Rinsing it in of itself. In other words, we have to balance two rules of Rava. Yeah. Rava says that when it comes to a bag of shriyaso hu kviyaso, the soaking of it in water is considered laundering. That's one statement of Rava. Another statement of Rava is that when it comes to leather, in other words, ain kibbutz, the only way that you do kibbutz is with agitation.
Even
so,
soft one.
Wait. That, in other words, that in terms of laundering, those are the two rules of Rava. Mm-hmm. So the way the Gemara balances it is that when we're talking about a baged, so just soaking it in of itself, that is laundering. That is an act of laundering. Vis-a-vis Shabbos, you're violating Shabbos. Vis-a-vis the halachas of kibbutz regarding damchatos, so you soak it and already you're laundering it. When it comes to a soft leather, so a soft leather is subject to kibbutz. It's just that the kibbutz process for leather is more aggressive. It's not just soaking. It's soaking and doing some sort of agitation and rubbing.
Rinsing is considered soaking?
Rinsing is just soaking. That's right. Okay. Darsh Rava Mutal Chabez Min Al B'Shabez. So Rava comes up with a public statement. And when you see the word Darsh, that means that this is open for public consumption. So Darsh Rava, so Darsh announced publicly, which is Mutal Chabez Min Al B'Shabez. One is allowed to do kibbutz on your shoes on Shabbos. I'm a Rav Papa Rava Vahamar Rabbi Chaya Barashi Zimnin Segin Havakim Nekamid the Rav Vishach Shechel Emesan Bemaya. So I think this is now our fourth time. Okay, good. So fourth time we're hearing that Rav allowed his shoes to be rinsed with water, but Sheikh Shechin Aval Kibbutz Lo. But in other words, but the only thing that allowed to be done is to just simply have water running over it, but that's it. In other words, no agitation, no rubbing, just rinsing running water over it. So Hadar Uka Rav Amor Alev Darisho. Rava now, next day, darshans, and a public mea culpa. And he says, V'darish dvarim shamart lefnechem tausim biyadi. Yesterday I said, you're allowed to launder, kibbutz. You're allowed to launder shoes on Shabbos. Baram, indeed, kach amru, shich shach mutter kibbutz asa. But now for a point of correction and clarification, Rava publicly admits that he was wrong, which, by the way, in of itself, just a wonderful lesson for all of us. Publicly admits that he was wrong, and he says it's not correct. What is correct is that one is allowed to run water over it, but one is not allowed to do any type of agitation to the leather. Agitation would in fact constitute kibbutz and would in fact be usur. Okay, hakibbutz b'makom kadosh. We are now on Tzadi Dalam and Beis. We're halfway down on the Amud, just wrapping up on the points in the Mishnah. Minani milutan rabban techabes b'makom kadosh. So the Torah says techabes that you launder it b'makom kadosh in the azara, which means that kibbutz must be done in the azara. And again, just now that I'm familiar with the Ramban, meaning the point is to keep the blood in the azara. Shir is kli cheres minayin tamalam or v'kli cheres asher tivashabo. So how do I know the same thing is true regarding kli cheres, that it is to be broken in the azara? Ukli cheres asher tivashabo yishaver. So the vav of ukli cheres is obviously a conjunction. It's there to connect it to the previous point. Just like the kibbutz has to be done in the azara, the breaking of the kli cheres also has to be done in the azara as well. Marika v'shifa b'kli nechoshes minayin. How about the kashering of your metal? So tamalomer v'im b'kli nechoshes bushala umarak v'shutaf b'mayim. Once again, the phrase in the Torah opens up with the word vav. Vav over here serves as a conjunction, adding this phrase to the previous phrase, and once again teaching us that it has to be done by makom kadosh, has to be done in the azara. Zuchomer bechatas v'suleika. The Gemara, the Mishnah, going back to the Mishnah, tells us that this is a chomer regarding the carbon chatas. Meaning that last line of the Mishnah, can I remind all of us, in Sadi Gimel Mideis, after the Mishnah introduces us to the halacha of dam kibbutz, then the Mishnah also treated us to the halachas of breaking the kli cheres, and koshering the pots and pans. Zechomer bechatas. Now, if you look at Rashi back on the Mishnah, Zechomer bechatas, Rashi wrote, I comment on this when we did the Mishnah. That's going back on the halacha of kibbutz, meaning the halacha of kibbutz is something special and unique to the carbon chatas. That kibbutz has to be done by makom kadosh, it has to be laundered in the blood that's absorbed in the clothing. Let me be clear. The blood of a carbon chatas that's laundered in the clothing has to be laundered in the azara. Now, the Mishnah says, this is a chumr as it relates to the carbon chatas, to which the Gemara basically says, what? That's the chumr? And there's no other chumr as it relates to the carbon chatas? And so the answer of the Gemara is ultimately going to be, spoiler alert, the answer of the Gemara is ultimately going to be that it's not the only chumr, it just happens to be in the context of this Mishnah. Meaning, of course, there are other things that are unique to the carbon chatas. But for a moment, the Gemara is going to think right now that the Mishnah is to be treated literally, that this is the only chumra. Right. By all of the carbonists. In fact, the next Mishnah is going to tell us that. Okay.
What's the status of that clothing once it's
fine. Meaning you got the blood out.
No, I'm saying before you get the blood out, what's the status of it?
I meaning the clothing puzzle for avoda, it's hard to imagine. I mean, the Gemara is not going to my recollection, the Gemara doesn't say. But maybe.
While it's sprinting on the clothing and he's in the middle of the avoda, he's not going to take off his clothing.
No, clearly not. I was just
saying. But right, can we use it?
You're saying you can't take it out of the azara because it's got right. Hathas on it.
Right. Okay.
But what is the status of that clothing? Can it even be in the azara? It's like, is there
It has to be in the azara for kibbutz. Okay, I'm not sure. Hakibus ba makam kadosh menani milatan rabban tochubas ba makam kadosh shvirus kli. Sorry, I did all that. Vesu leka. Sorry. Zechomer bechatas. Vesu leka. This is the only chomer as it relates to carbon chatas. Vaika shenichnas dam lifnim. So, what about the halacha where if I take the blood of an outer chatas, bring it into the heichal, the blood and the carbon become possible? What about that halacha? So the gemara says bechatas chitzonios sheim nichnas dama. Sorry. Vaika shenichnas dama lifnim. I'm sorry. First, the Gemara is asking, what about the chatos panimios? So the Gemara's answer is bechatos chitzonios. She'im nichnas dam lefnim psula. So the Gemara says, what about... No, okay, no, I'm sorry. I took one step out of turn. Now the Gemara asks the question, what about the fact that if I take the blood of an outer chatos and bring it inside, it becomes possible? So Karebi Kiva damar kol damim she'nichnasu lehecha lechaper psula. So the Gemara says, well, maybe our Mishnah is going like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We learned earlier in the Masechta that according to Rabbi Akiva, this is not a halacha specific to carbon chatas. Any carbon where I take the blood and bring it into the hechel, the carbon becomes pasul. So therefore, our Mishnah could be signing like Rabbi Akiva. She came echaper machai v'krisus. So the Gemara says, what about the fact that the carbon chatas provides kapara for isuri karis? What other carbon does that? So the Gemara says, Bechatas to Shmias Kol. Well, our Mishnah could also be talking about the carbon chatas that's brought for Shmias Kol. Now, Shmias Kol is knowing testimony and refusing to testify in court. And if that's done, happens to be that it's an interesting halacha, both Peshogig and or Bemezid. So you bring a special carbon. It's a carbon chatas. It's a special carbon chatas. It's Olav Yared. It depends on your financial status. But anyway, point is that there is no Isser Karis for that. There's no Isser Karis for that Avera, so therefore it's not unique to just Isser Karis. She came to an Arba Matanos. So the Gemara says, what about the fact that you have to hit all four walls? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, could be that our Mishnah siding with the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Damar called Damim Tunim Dal Matanos Adal Karan. I'm sorry, Adal Matanos. That all Karbanos have to go on all four walls. Now, again, the Mishnahs that we learned in the fifth parak of the Masechta do not go like Rabbi Shmuel. That's true. But okay, but that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Maybe I'm just citing like that opinion. The Gemara says, Al Dal Kronos, what about the fact that you have to hit all four corners? Meaning, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, you are going to hit all four walls, but there is no requirement to hit all four corners. That is a halacha, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, that is exclusive to the Karban Chatas. And so basically, checkmate. Meaning, there are other halachas regarding the Karban Chatas that's exclusive to Karban Chatas. And then the Gemara says, look, as long as we're here, Latame Chaika, Karen Aika, Etzba Aika, Chuda. So there's a halacha of you actually hitting the horns of the Mizbech. No other carbon goes for the horns. And Haika Etzba, and the application is done with your finger. No other carbon's done like that. Haika Chuda, you're also hitting the edge of the corner, which is not true by any of the other carbonas. Elachal Mitre Tlasu Chomeinaka. So the Gemara says, okay. So really, you know, when the Mishnah says that this is a chumra regarding carbon chatas, this is not the only chumra. This is a chumrah, not the chumrah. Let's move on. The Mishnah, beged sheyasa chutz l'klal nichnas u'mechabta b'makom kadosh. If let's say I have a beged that was taken out of the kolayim, right? I don't have a running tally, but if I did, the number of times when the Mishnah is referring to the azara and refers to the walls of the azara as kolayim, as curtains, okay, that's old school, right? In the Mishkan, that which surrounded the azara was actual curtains. It wasn't a physical wall. In the Beis Hamikdash, it was a physical wall. And very often, I don't have a running tally, but very often when the Mishnah is describing the azara, it uses the word kolayim to describe the walls around the azara. Okay? Could be, but that's what I'm about to say is just a theory. It could be that this Mishnah was an old, old Masorah, and it goes back to the Zman where there was a Mishkan, right, back in the Midbar, maybe in Shiloh. Okay. Yes.
Is there a chiyuv of kibus for the curtains?
For the curtains? The Torah says begin. Torah's usage of the word beggar would seem to be that it has to be a article of clothing. That's what seemingly. Okay, beggar shiatsa chutzah klaim nichnas mechapsa b'makom kadosh. So now let's say the beggar was taken outside of the azara. So what do you do? You bring it back into the azara. Very simple. Nichnas mechabes b'makom kadosh. You bring it back in order to do the kibbutz in makom kadosh. In other words, the Torah's instructions are very clear that the kibbutz requirement is in to be done in the azara. Okay. That part was easy. Although, again, once you know the Ramban, like it forces you to think. Like the whole point of doing the kibbutz is so that the blood doesn't leave the azara. Here in this particular beged, it was by mistake. Let's assume it was just carelessness. But by mistake, the beged was taken outside of the azara. You could have made the argument, in other words, if you're following the Ramban, you could have made the argument, well, now it's too late. You know, the whole point was to keep it in the azara. Okay, anyway. Right, right. Again, so right. So even in the first line of the Mishnah, you're right. It still could be viewed as a chiddush. Okay. Nitma chutz l'klayim. So here comes now the problem. Problem is like this. Let's say the garment was taken outside the azara, and after taken outside the azara, now the garment also becomes tummy. So to reintroduce it into the azara right now, you'd love to, because there's still a requirement of kibbutz, and kibbutz is b'makom kadosh. On the other hand, the counter consideration over here is that it is tummy, and you're not allowed to bring something tummy into the Beis Hamikdash. So now we are, I'm going to use this, get ready for this. So we are torn right now. Okay. Thank you. Right. So we're torn right now because, wow, I didn't even plan that. Okay. That was because on one hand we want to bring it back into the azara to do the mitzvah of kibbutz. On the other hand, we want to keep it outside because it's tummy. So what do we do? So it says the Mishnah koro. So what you do is you tear the garment. By tearing the garment, what we have effectively done is that we purify the garment. We know that a kli only has tuma when it is a functional whole kli. So once you tear it, so now that is a removal of the tuma. And now, good, now we bring it back into the azara in order to do kibbutz. Nichnas mechapsa b'makom kadosh, and now we can bring it back inside. Kli cheres yatzah chutz l'klayim. Now, let's say I have a kli cheres that is taken outside the klayim. Now, by the kli cheres, we know that the halacha is yishaber. It has to be broken, as we learned just a moment ago in the Gemara. That too has to be done b'makom kadosh. That's the vav, the conjunction. So now, if the kli cheres is taken outside the azara, what do I do? So the Mishnah says, nichnas v'shover b'makom kadosh. So once again, that's real simple. Bring it back into the azara and break it in the azara. Nitma chutz l'klayim. So now, what if our kli cheres now was taken outside of the azara, and it becomes tamei? So once again, we are going to be stuck now between these two, the push and the pull. On one hand, we want to bring it back in because we want to do the mitzvah of shvira b'makom kadosh. On the other hand, it's tamei, and we cannot introduce anything tamei into the azara. What do we do? So nokva v'nichnas. So you put a hole in the kli cheres. By putting a hole in the kli cheres, you are now creating a dysfunctional kli cheres, a broken kli cheres. And by doing so, the tumah goes away. And by the tumah now going away, now you can reintroduce it into the azara in order to do the mitzvah of shvira. Kli nechoshes. Let me continue. Kli nechoshes. If I have a copper kli that was taken out of the curtains, out of the azara. So nichnas umarko v'shofar b'makom kadosh. So once again, I reintroduce it. I bring it back in order to do the mitzvah of kashering the kli nechoshes. Again, as we learned just a moment ago, the mitzvah to kasher the kli nechoshes is to be done in the azara. Nitma, and now the Mishnah is super symmetrical. Now, what if the kli nechoshes becomes tam mechutz to klayim? Pochaso, so here you dent it. So the, in other words, Rashi over here says more than dent it. You make a big hole. Rashi over here writes that when it comes to a kli mateches, when it comes to a metal kli, so a small little hole which we were okay with earthenware is insufficient in order to remove the tumah of a metal. So therefore, we're going to puncture it with a larger hole in order to render it no longer a functional kli, and then tumah's gone. Bring it back in and kasher it in the azara. Maskefla, let me go on. Maskefla Ravina Kor Beged Amar Rachman of Allah Begedhu. So the Gemara says, so let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's ask together about the Mishnah. The Torah says beged. That in other words, that the kibbutz is going to be on a garment. And I wonder, says the Gemara, how is the solution of the Mishnah a solution? Because the Mishnah says if the beged was taken out and it becomes tamei, so I'll tell you what you do. You tear it up and you bring it back inside. Okay. But once you tear it up and you bring it back inside, it's not a beged. So granted, I understand what the impetus was. The motivation was to get rid of the tumah. I get that part. But at the same time, though, you lost everything. Because once you tear it up, it's not a beged. And the whole mitzvah of the Torah is to launder the beged. So the Gemara says, the Mishari Bei Kedei Ma'afaris. So the Gemara says, okay, when the Mishnah says tear it up, so we're going to do two things. We're going to tear, but we're not going to tear. We're going to tear it to the point where the tumah goes away. But at the same time, however, we'll still keep some connective tissue between the two parts. We're not going to tear into two halves. By tearing to two halves, it loses the status of beged. So that there will be enough connective tissue between the two parts of the tear. I'll leave enough together so that it will still be considered a beged. So it's interesting right now. The Gemara obviously is trying to find some sort of happy medium between enough of a tear to remove the tumah, but not too much of a tear where it loses its shame beged.
Okay, we do like the Kharis where you right. Poke a hole.
Right, right. In other words, before the Gemara, I could have easily argued that the two points go hand in hand. Meaning, once you're tearing it to the point where it's no longer a beged, so the tumah goes away, but then it's no longer a beged. What the Gemara is telling us is that there exists some sort of happy medium of tearing it to the point where the tumah goes away, but still retains the status of a beged. I'm sorry, just give me 1 second. Ini v'amar Rav Huna loshna elo shloshayer ba kedei ma'afaras, avashayer ba kedei ma'afaras chibur havei. So the Gemara says, okay, but Rav Huna taught us the following, that this is true only when I don't leave a kedei ma'afaras. But if I leave a kedei ma'afaras is just simply enough of a band between the two tears where it's still connected. So this is considered chibur, this is still considered connection. Enough of a connection where the tumah is still there. So basically what the Gemara now is asking is, wait 1 second, I'm so confused. Because you're telling me, tear it enough so that the tumah goes away, but it still retains the status of beged. To which now the Gemara is asking, hey, but Rav Huna taught us that if I tear a beged, but there's enough connective fabric where it's still connected one to another, it's still in a state of tumah. And so basically, you've solved nothing. So the Gemara's answer on the top of Tzadi Hamad Alf Midurabbanu. So the Gemara says, the Rav Huna halacha that we just learned together is a din derabanan. The fact that it's considered chibur, that's considered connected, and that the tumah has not left, that's only on a rabbinic level. Tumah on a rabbinic level. But the fact of the matter is that you tore the majority. By tearing the majority mid the araisa, the tumah has gone away. And so therefore, vis-a-vis the halachas of tumah tahara, so we look at it on a daraisa level, tumah is gone. On the rabbinic level, tumah is still there. But so that we can fulfill the mitzvah of kibbutz b'makom kadosh, we can fall back on the din d'oraisa that the tumah is gone, thereby bringing it back in, doing the kibbutz in the azara. For other areas in halacha, however, we're going to treat it like a kli midrabanan being tameh.
The rabbanan doesn't apply.
Generally, and then there are times when it does. Sorry for such a glib answer, but I've been feeling that question a lot in Zvachim, and so Sometimes I just, you know, the Gemara says Ein Shavus B'Mikdash, and you know, it seems to be a very general rule, and very often we find that there's exceptions.
Can you bring anything that's not needed for the avodah to the Azara? Something that's not needed.
And
can you bring anything that's not needed? Because once you tear the garment or kelicheretz, it's like, it cannot be used for any avodah inside.
There's a need to bring it inside it? Because you have to do the mitzvah of kibbutz.
No, but there's no avodah to be done with it. How can you bring something that's not
for avodah? There's a mitzvah in the Torah of techubas b'makom kadosh. You have to do the mitzvah of kibbutz. Right. There's a mitzvah kibbutz. Okay, now kli charet sheyatza.
Is there a lav though of not doing it?
In other words, the Gemara is in the Mishnah clearly is working with the motivation of we want to do the mitzvah.
No, I understand. Yeah.
Okay.
The question is there a lav?
Hey, right.
We care about the blood of Hatari, but it's pasul.
Yes. Right. Correct. We're up to the next line of the Mishnah. Now, this next part of the Gemara is choppy. Because Rashi says, you look at the second line of Rashi, I'm reading inside. So as far as the Gears is concerned, Rashi says, we're missing a little bit of Sefer over here. Sefer over here means that just the manuscript of the Gemara. Because we're going to talk in just a moment about having some sort of reparation work done. By Kli Cheres is no repairing. Kli cheres, you break it, it's broken, that's it. So, v'hai shinuye gabe kli nechoshes. Who? So, and as far as the answer of the Gemara of Ritzuf, of some sort of melting and mending, that's only by metal, that's not by kli cheres. V'hachi parach pochaso kli amrachmana v'hai lav kli hu b'shas mariko v'shtifa. Okay, so Rashi says that it's got to be that right now we're missing a little bit of the gears of the Gemara, so that's why the Gemara right now is going to get a little bit choppy. So kli cheres sheyatza v'chulei kli amarachmana v'lo klihu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, it's not a kli. So the Gemara's answer is shenike b'shorosh katan. So the Gemara says that, and again, seemingly right now we're talking about the kli cheres. So what you did is you punctured it with a really small hole. Now the Gemara over here describes it as shorosh katan. Shorosh katan, like some sort of very small root. Again, there's a really long Tosfos over here that started in the previous Amud that goes into this Amud, and he also struggles with the Girsa that we just have in the Gemara, that I just read in the Gemara. We don't see this anywhere else in the Gemara, this idea of a small hole the size of a Sharish Katan. Okay. Anyway, much discussed on this one line of Gemara. We're gonna continue. Kli nechoshes pochaso v'halav klihu. So the Gemara says, but that's not a Kli. So the Gemara says, derutziv martziv. So the Gemara says, well, what happened is that after you banged a hole in it, so what you then did is you went back in and you basically beat it back into shape.
Why do you care?
We want the tumor to go away.
No. So you remove the tumor, just care about the blood to get rid of it.
Right, but...
So why do you think that become functional?
Wait, hold on a second. I'm sorry. Step by step. In other words, the first part of the Mishnah was talking about the begadim. So the begadim, there's a requirement to remove the blood. The next part of the Mishnah was talking about kalim. So by kli cheres, there's a mitzvah to break the kli, not because it nothing to do with blood, having to do with the fact that the carbon chatzos was cooked in it. The next part of the Mishnah is talking about metal kalim, where there's a halacha to kasher the kli, having nothing to do with blood, having to do with the fact that there was a carbon cooked in it. And the Gemara over here is just simply saying that the Torah describes where it has to be a kli. And so, if it was taken out of the Azar, which it shouldn't have been, but if it was taken out of the Azar and it becomes Tameh, so the Mishnah says, well, I'm going to be bringing it back into the Azar. The problem, of course, is that it's Tameh and I can't reintroduce it back into the Azar. The solution of the Mishnah is break it. Well, if I break it, it's no longer a kli. So now the Gemara says, as another step in the solution, when you bring it back into the Azar, so then you're just simply going to fix it. So the Gemara says, okay, now if we're talking about the Beged of a Kohen, so we enter now into another problem. The problem is that you can't tear it. Meaning, Begadim, as we discussed previously, we're just talking about regular Begadim. You and I walked into the Beis HaMikdash, and lo and behold, the blood of a carbon chatzos sprinkled on our clothing. Fine. So it should be washed, b'makom kadosh, and the azar, if it's taken out, bring it back in again, if it becomes tameh, etc., etc. But now, as we describe the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, so we are stuck with a problem, which is the Torah prohibits us from tearing the beged at all. So in the event that the beged of a Kohen Gadol had the blood of the chatas fall on it, and now I want to bring it back into the azara because I want to wash it. On the other hand, if it becomes tameh, I can reintroduce it into the azara. The solution of the mission of tearing it would be a good solution if it was not the beged of a Kohen. But now that this is the beged of the Kohen, the Torah says, lo yikarea, I'm not allowed to tear it. So what do I do? So the Gemara says, in the name of Reish Lakish, machnisa bepachos mishal shashosh umechabso. So what you do is you bring it in just a little patch. So in other words, just the one area that needs the treatment, you bring that in, less than shalosh bashalosh. If you look at the Bam Tosfos over here, he writes, afilaman da amar, second to last Tosfos, afilaman da amar beish kol apsulim bias b'mikzah shmabia. Remember how we discussed earlier in the Masechta, what about a partial entrance into the Azara? So there is a viewpoint that we described earlier that is considered a bia, that is considered entrance. Shani beged hol v'yachol lechot chol chashav ki'ilu nichnas kulo. That's talking about a body, a human body. A human body where if I were to stick in a finger or any part of my body that's considered entrance into the Azara, that's because a human is one organic whole. But as it relates to a beged, you can do this maneuver, says Tosfos, where you can just simply take a little piece of it and bring it into the Azara, and we do not say bia memiksa shmebia. So machapso mishum shenemar lo yikare. Most of Ravada Ba'ava, the Gemara over here is bothered by really a general question. Ha'avin v'arachin ein b'hem mishum shalosh shalosh. So the Gemara says that when we're talking with fabrics that are either thick or soft, so then there is no shear of shalosh shalosh, meaning that if it's a very, very soft material, and Rashi points out the me'il is such, so then it is not, the shear of tumah is going to be even less than 3x3, and so how can I bring any of it into the azara? So the Gemara says, agav avien chashive. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, this is a piece of a larger beged, and anything which is a piece of a larger beged is in fact subject to the rules of Gimel al-Gimel. The Gemara says, v'habai shiva samemanim. The Gemara says, okay, another problem, another hurdle that we need to jump over. And that is that in order to effectively remove the blood, so there is a special process in terms of blood removal. We learned this back in Masech Nida, and we're learning it now here in Zvachim. The Amar of Nachum and Amar of Abaravu, Adam Chatos Umaros Negayim, Tzrichim Shiva Samemanim. In areas of a halacha, right now we're focusing just on the Dam Chatos. But it's also true regarding Nega as well. In order to successfully remove it, you have to use seven chemicals. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi over here quickly reminds us of the Gemara in Bek and Nida in terms of what the seven chemicals are. Dam Chatos Shiva Samemanim, Shimon Maseches Nida, Le'ingin Ksamim. In other words, if a stain is found on the clothing of a woman, a kesem, so in order to know whether it's blood, so what you use is you use the seven chemicals in order to see. Now, Rashi over here, with just a little bit of editing in Rashi, everything I'm saying over here is based on the Shita Mekubetzes. So the seven chemicals are rogue tuffel, saliva of a person who hasn't eaten. That's why it's rogue tuffel. It's like tasteless saliva. And the next thing on the list should be megrisim. Right, some sort of bean extract, meraglim urine, neser, some sort of mineral, a boris, okay, I don't know. The word ohel is to be taken out, kamunya and ashleg, other types of herbs and minerals. Okay, so I cannot identify all seven, but in other words, but the shiva samamanim. The Amar of Nachman, back to the Gemara. The Amar, I'm sorry, before we go back to the Gemara, what's the problem? Yeah. One of the seven chemicals that's applied to the blood in order to remove the blood is urine. Urine, Rashi writes, Hecha ma'ilina me'reglaim lazar v'amrinan. Meaning that's going to be what bothers the Gemara. How can it be that we're going to be removing the blood where one of the chemicals to remove the blood is urine and you're not allowed to do that? The Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav Abaravu, Adam Chatos Amaras Nekan Tzrichim Shiva Samaman V'tanya Ela She'im Achnisa me'reglaim l'mikdash. The Mishnah increases, the Braisa increases, which we're all familiar with. It's incorporated in the davening before Pesuket Zimra. You can't bring urine into the Azara. It's not kavod hamikdash to do so. V'chitema, the Gemara suggests, mivlu ba'adi shiva samamanim amavlu l'kulu kechad. The Gemara now makes a suggestion. Well, maybe what we're going to do is that we're going to take all seven of the chemicals, put them together, and then run it through it. And being that the urine now is not just standing in of itself, but blended together with the other, maybe that's fine. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what. It may be fine, but you're not allowed to do that for the blood removal. The Mishnah Nida teaches us that in order for these chemicals to effectively remove the blood, they have to be applied individually, one by one. You put them together, or if you take them out of sequence, that's nothing. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we're going to do is that we're going to take the urine and add it to one of the other chemicals. So Tanan, the Gemara says, but meanwhile, the Mishnah also taught us that when we apply the seven chemicals, each one must be rubbed into the garment one at a time. So the Gemara says, Ela demivluhu berog tafel. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you, it can be done because rog tafel, not only is being the first of the detergents in order to remove the blood, but the rog tafel is also going to be added to the other six detergents as well. The Amar Reish Lakish rog tafel tzarech she'im kol echa ve'echan. So based on the teaching of Reish Lakish, now problem solved. Meaning that you're not just bringing urine in of itself into the azara, you're bringing it together with the spit. Spit is added to all of the other six detergents as well. And so spit first, then spit and each of the other next six items on the list. And so therefore there is no problem with introducing urine into the azara if it's coming in blended with something else.